This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, on to much more important things than Manny Pacquiao. Time for your real song.
So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
Here she is, Anthea Gardner. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth. I'm almost as good a singer as Manny.
Yeah, no, you're way better. Way better.
Thank you.
With your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back, you're still a better singer. So how are you? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was relaxed. I was in Johannesburg, yes. So just caught up with some friends.
No dangerous hobbies?
Not this weekend, no. Okay. I left that to Flex. I believe Flex went surfing
this
weekend.
You were doing really?
I went surfing in Durban, and now I know why everyone in Cape Town, Durban, Shore Bay area is so ripped and shredded.
It's
it is so
exercise.
Hard to surf.
Yeah, it's
it uses
tough.
Every muscle in your body.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Oh, and you
Sia used to be a champion surfer, right, Sia? Weren't you? I mean, you were.
It's one of those things. What
Durban
can I say?
So, I mean, there was a lot of news this weekend about Oak Bay Investments and the Guptas divesting, or not divesting, but certainly, resigning all the positions on their boards and so on, and getting the hell out of the country.
But you did notice they didn't sell their shareholding,
no,
right?
No, not at all. So they're still there, and they're still in control.
Still beneficial owners, yep.
But I did notice that the market, you said you thought it was probably going to be a bit of a down day. We closed just a little bit up.
Yeah, I got that wrong. I'm very happy to say I got that wrong. We were up 0.5% on Friday. Unfortunately for the week, the market was still down about 50 basis points. You know, I think it's the strong rand that's kind of held the market back a bit last week. So, it is what it is, right? It happens. And Friday, kind of all the indices except gold was higher.
Really?
Yeah. The banks did really well. So Barclays was up over 4% on Friday. And I think that's on news that there might be a buyer for 10% of Barclays Group Africa stake. And I think it's being supported by the PIC. So they haven't said who it is. I don't know where they're going to find the money. I think the stake that Barclays are trying to sell is about 56 billion rands worth.
Huh.
So, yeah. So it's a lot of money for a consortium of locals to put together. It could potentially, and I'm not sure this is confirmed, it could even be a BEE consortium that maybe the PIC are going to fund. And politically, so the PIC are not supposed to be political, but there's no doubt they are. And I think they would definitely spin it that if it's a BEE consortium, it makes sense to keep it local, not to sell it to a Chinese or a Middle Eastern sovereign fund or blah, blah, blah. So I think the PIC would prefer if it was a local. And
okay.
Preferably BEE, I'm sure. That's what I'm thinking.
But then let's hope that it's not the same old people who get into every other BEE deal.
That is the thing. And I don't know how it's not going to be, Gareth.
Yeah. So in other words, ordinary black people in this country, they'll spin this as, oh, look, it's black business, but it's not. It's the same elite getting into another deal, making themselves even richer.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that's no good, but I mean, let's see if it happens.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. It's still early days, right? It's still very early days. And then, of course, the rand strengthened. I just mentioned that. But that mostly was in the back of the fact that South Africa issued a 10-year dollar denominated bond for, what was it, $1.25 billion. So
what does this mean?
Okay.
Remind me.
So go back
to basics.
So you know how the country borrows money. We issue bonds and people buy the bonds and we pay them a coupon. Mm-hmm. So your coupon in South Africa at the moment is about 9% on the 10-year.
Okay.
And that's for local and it's denominated in rands. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the big issue with this downgrade, the S&P downgrade coming in June, or potential S&P downgrade coming in June, was that we were worried that we won't be able to borrow money. And if we were borrowing money, that it would be at very high levels.
Mm-hmm.
But on Friday, or I think it was Thursday evening, actually, they announced that they'd managed to get this bond away. And they normally do it through an auction. So what happens, the National Treasury says, we're raising X amount of money. Who wants to buy some? Investors then go, me, I want to, and I want to buy X amount of bonds. In fact, it was 2 times oversubscribed.
Well, that's good news.
So now, yeah, exactly. So Gordon's trip paid off. So if you were a foreign investor and you thought South Africa was going to get downgraded, would you be buying bonds?
No, maybe not. But this is interesting. So just explain how it actually happened. Are there people sitting in a room? Or is it all
Well, it's all electronic.
Electronic.
Now. Yeah, it's all electronic. Okay, it's the way we trade.
Pravin doesn't actually stand up there and go, okay, who's in? Who wants some?
Well, it is a bit like that. So he went overseas a couple of weeks ago, right? And he went met with investors.
Mm.
And he said to
them, who are these investors? I mean,
okay,
again,
so
are these...
PIMCO is probably the biggest fixed income bond fund in the world. Well, I say that.
What is PIMCO?
Sure. PIMCO. It's a very famous asset manager.
Okay.
There's lots of drama around them as well. So there's all these asset managers buying and selling, kind of, one, to make money, two, to secure pension fund money, all sorts of reasons. Right? Mm-hmm. So he goes and he meets them and he says, listen, don't worry. It's okay. I've got this under control. South Africa is not going to be downgraded to junk status, or at least I'm going to do my best to ensure that it's not. And I promise we've got enough money to repay the bond if it ever, mm-hmm. kind of, anything ever happened, blah, blah, blah. And whether or not they believe him is the question. They obviously have believed him.
Two times oversubscribed. I like
mm-hmm.
that.
And then on Thursday evening, what happens? An email goes out to all investors saying, we are issuing the 10-year. We're looking to raise $1.25 billion because that's how much we need to borrow for the next 10 years. Would you like to partake? And investors like myself, we go, yes, please. I'll have 10 million rand, or I'll have 100 million rand, blah, blah, blah. And that's how it happens. And it all happens by email. And then
and what's the upshot for those people? They make 9% over 10 years.
Well, no, because if it's in dollars, the bond actually cleared at 4.875%. So South African government is now paying for offshore money 4.875%, whereas here they're paying 9.1%.
Oh, that's great. That's a good deal for us.
Well, there's something called purchasing power parity, which means that just because it's in dollars, the effect is the exchange rate makes a difference. So we're actually betting that the exchange rate will never be the same because of this differential in our currencies.
Yeah.
It is still high, you know, considering bonds generally, government bonds are trading at near 0% for developed markets. You know, Germany had a 10-year, and I think the bond is now trading negative, actually. So at negative interest rates. I mean, they didn't issue it at negative, but let's say they issued it at 1%, and they always issue it at par. And as the price of the bond changes, the yield changes. And so because people are now running running towards German bunds, if you like, it actually comes out that the yield is negative. So you're getting a negative yield. So you as an investor are not making an interest on this bond. You're just hoping that your money is safe and that the German government will repay the money.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. We're learning a lot more than I bargained for here this morning. Okay. Well, this is very good news.
Okay. So, yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think Pravin's done his job. Of course, It makes my job a little bit more difficult, because if foreign investors are betting, they kind of are, that we're not going to get downgraded, we don't know who the investors are, so we don't know what their profile is. So maybe they're people who are allowed to hold junk bonds, because there are those in the world.
But why would they want them? I mean, they would want something that's...
Because they're getting 4.87% yield, whereas in Germany they're getting a negative yield. Or in the US they're getting 0.2%.
Yeah, but there are other things you can do to get more than 4.87%.
That are
also safe bets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there must
be
something...
These people can't
be stupid.
No, they're not stupid. That's right. For sure. No, these are some of the smartest in the world. Or at least I think so.
Yeah.
You can't have all your money in one stock or on just one asset. So you can't only own property. You can't only own equities. And we talk about diversification all the time. So maybe this is just part of the diversification strategy, and they feel they're not going to lose their money. That's fine. South Africa is not going to default. In the next 10 years, we'll be able to repay our bonds. One time on Friday, huge jump. And it's very interesting because we've had sort of these different parties talking it down. So remember the Saudi deputy crown prince saying he's not going to decrease output until Iran does. And then we had the Kuwaiti governor of OPEC saying, you know what, actually, we could still cap production on oil. And then on Friday, you had one of the pipelines, so a pipeline from Alberta, Canada to Oklahoma in the US, they'd stopped kind of supply for some reason. I think they had a spill or something. And so, of course, this lowers the inventory numbers in the US. So as inventory numbers came out and they were lower than expected, oil suddenly spiked. So now we're looking at higher oil prices again. And it's kind of, it's interesting because you don't know what's going to happen. You
what are we at the moment? What's the oil price?
Just about $40.
Okay. Yeah. But it's low. I mean, you know, historically it's quite low.
Yeah, I remember when it hit $150 mm-hmm. a barrel. So at 40, that's, yeah. But we have got this meeting of OPEC coming up where they're going to either cap production or not. We'll see again.
Sure. All right.
And of course, the upside for us is kind of Sasol has a little bounce or... And that's pretty much it. And then we worry about inflation because that'll push inflation higher.
Sure, certainly.
Mm. Yeah. And then... Okay. What else did we have?
ABF.
You saw that, right? So Associated British Foods have made a 25 Rand per share offer for the balance of Illovo shares. So they already own...
That's the sugar company.
That's right, yes. So initially, they offered 20 Rand a share.
Yeah.
Now they up their offer to 25, and it looks like shareholders are going to take it. The share was up 15% on Friday, Illovo was, which is interesting that they've upped their offer because sugar's gone up a little bit, international sugar prices, but not that much to warrant such a premium. So I think they're still, I mean, a lot of people are saying that ABF have taken advantage of the fact that sugar prices have fallen and that our sugar companies are in trouble and that we've had drought, and that's why they're buying Illovo. But actually, if they're upping their offer, that's not a bad thing. And ABF, Associated British Foods, are a company that own sugar plantations in Spain and somewhere else in Europe, I can't remember. But they also own the clothing retailer Primark. Hmm. And Primark are really like... I suppose we call them fast fashion or kind of like H&M, you know, so the lower end of the fashion retail. So it's an interesting phenomenon. The flip side of this actually is, so sugar prices have bounced a little bit, but Tongaat, you know, this is one we always talk about.
I know. We've been hanging on to it, waiting for them to sell this property. Are they dropping down in the meantime?
No. So Tongaat's had a nice little bounce as well. So it's about 106 Rand something a share at the moment. And I'm not sure that it's on the back of sugar prices, because sugar has spiked, international sugar prices, but sugar only makes up 15% of Tongaat's revenue. So I'm not sure.
That's amazing. You called Tongaat sugar, but you about 5% of your revenue is made up by sugar.
Yeah. Well that's how the world changes, though.
I read
it?
A fascinating article last night while I was falling asleep about sugar and how it's the enemy, and actually sugar is the most deadly poison that you put into your body every day, particularly fructose.
I've heard this, yes.
Oh, yeah. And now, you know, people have been, for the last 3 decades, they've been saying saturated fat is the enemy. But actually, it turns out it's sugar.
Yeah.
So it's sooner or later, people are going to be saying, we don't want so much sugar.
But we've been guessing that that's why the sugar price has fallen, because of all these articles saying how bad sugar is, and apparently it's more addictive than cocaine, and all these stories. And that's why big companies are trying to use less sugar, basically.
Right. Well, let's see what happens. But if you were an owner of some Illovo shares on Friday, you had a very good day.
You would have made 15%. Yeah, sure, in one day, which is not a bad thing. And then talk about, on the same topic, sort of commodities. Uh-huh. On Friday, the finance ministry said that they had approved an increase in the price of wheat import duty. So this is almost protectionism, really, because what they're saying is they've approved a 34% increase, right? Shit. So you can now charge, so now we're charging sort of as South Africans, 1,224 Rand per ton, where we used to charge 911 Rand a ton. And the reason for that is because they want to protect the farmers. So the local farmers have had drought. They're producing wheat, but not as much. And actually what has happened is that the international wheat price, and because of the rand, has fallen below where we were selling it. Unfortunately, though, South Africa still imports 60% of its wheat. And so I think this is going to, so they, the ministry say that it's not going to have an impact on inflation or bread too much, because wheat only is between 15 to 20% of a loaf of bread.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. Also, surely at the end, if you're a wheat importer into South Africa, you're just going to end up charging more for to, exactly. In other words, to cover the duties.
Of course. And so us as the consumer suffers, right?
Right.
So unfortunately, that's exactly what happens. But they've allowed it. It's a 34% increase. Of course, it gets lowered as it reaches kind of the consumer or the ground because of the, this 15% allocation. But it's still big, you know.
Now, apparently you went to a meeting at the old stock exchange.
I did on Friday. And I've got a picture, I'll tweet it actually, of the old trading board. And it's all like, it's a blackboard with chalk
in
numbers.
Chalk, yeah.
Yes. Which is totally bizarre.
That's how the stock exchange used to work, and people would be shouting at each
That's
other across
right.
the
and
floor.
That's right, and they'd have these hand signs of sell and buy, and some guy would literally run up and down the ledge, putting up the trades, writing it, wiping out the chalk and rewriting the new price. And I had a look at some of the prices that traded. So some of the things that were still listed, for example, Pick and Pay was trading.
What year are we talking about?
1978. Yeah. So this was the June, I think, 1978. Pick and Pay was trading at R2.20 a share. Wow. Today, R70.
Wow.
Woolworths, R4.30 a share. Today, R85.
Huh.
And talk about sugar.
Yeah.
Hewlett's, which became Tongaat, was trading at R2.30 a share. And I've just told you it's R106 a share, right? And then there's some other things. Like there was I&J was on there listed for 93 cents was the last trade. But I can't tell you what that is now because I&J is now owned by AVI Brands. And there's a whole lot of things that have changed and kind of, you know, become different companies.
Because that's like going into a museum of what you do every day.
Exactly. It was very exciting for me.
Yeah.
I mean, and like the whole history of the stock exchange, because the stock exchange only became electronic in 1996. So, wow. Yeah, 108 years after the first kind of stock exchange was established. And you know, the stock exchange was only established a year after they discovered gold in Johannesburg. I mean, they move fast, eh?
That's quick.
Yeah. So.
But what a nice piece of history.
Yeah, it was very interesting indeed.
Fantastic as always. Any expectations for today?
We should have Zeda's results today. That'll be interesting because especially with what's going on in the wheat. And you know, wheat is grown in winter, so we should have some idea of whether or not they're planting or whether they're selling. We'll see. I mean, it's a difficult one. You know, they put out a trading statement last week saying earnings per share would be up 153%. Uh-huh. But that's not how we look at it, right? We want to see what's happening in the underlying companies. And then I'll let you know tomorrow.
Thank you very much. There we go. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets this morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.